Yeah, I'd like to share with you a thought on Mount Taira, which was around the corner. At the same time, I'd like to share with you a part of the parasha, so we'll try two thoughts and see if there's some connection between them. I'd like to start by talking a little about Matan Taira, about Kabbalah Satira. In serving the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, there are two distinct mahalchim, two approaches. As a matter of fact, when we saw Salanter passed away, his Talmidim split into two groups. Slabodka, the Musa school of Slabodka, which taught what they called Gadlus HaAdam, the greatness of a person. And that was their Avaida. The Avaida of Slabodka was to build up the Torah, to give them a chashivus as much as they could. Hard to understand, but they used to actually give, in Slabodka, they gave the Bachram and the Yeshiva walking sticks, which would seem very strange to us, but in those days it was a chashivus. It was something a chashivus to have a walking stick. I can't imagine why it's a chashivus. Something like the next generation will look at a Lexus. They'll say, what's special about a Lexus? You know, what makes it different than a Camry? But in this generation, everyone thinks it's special. So the Gadlus HaAdam school was one derech in serving the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Nevardik, the Talmidim of Rav Sol Salanter, broke to Nevardik. Nevardik taught Shiflus HaAdam. They taught about a person's shiflus to an extreme degree. The Vardik was very extreme in their practice of Shiflus HaAdam, which is a story for itself, not for now. But that was the derech of Nevardik, to teach how the person has to consider himself unworthy. In that way, develop a closeness to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Or a different phrase is that one is Dveikus Bashem. The derech of Slabodka is to connect, to feel a connection to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And the derech of the Vardik was to teach Bittul HaAdam, to teach that a person a certain Bittul to Rabbeinu Shel Olam is not worthy of having any step away from what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wants. In Avodas Hashem, in its source, there are two, Schwab divides Torah into two mahalchim in Torah. One is Nevuah. Nevuah is to be a Navi, is serving the Rabbeinu Shel Olam with Bittul. A Navi serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chaloy Madaber Bay. A Navi knows he has nothing from himself. He's B'chaloy Madaber Bay. It's with Bittul Ahargeshim, without any sense of self. Navi falls on his face and receives Nevuah. Every time the Shechina comes, it says, V'yiplo aponav, and the Torah says 100 times, not 100 times, it says a handful of times that V'yera aleim kaveid Hashem, V'yiplo ha'am apneim. It says by the Meraglim, they're all busy screaming, and then they had a sense of Shechina, V'yiplo ha'am apneim, and there was suddenly a Bittul. Nevuah is serving Hashem through a Bittul. Learning is a fakeret. A person sits and learns. He learns with a certain sense of atzmius, with a certain sense of chashivas. A person learns, he knows he's learning the words of Tanam and Amirayim. And he's using his own seichel to understand it. If he doesn't understand it, he asks on them. It's really a certain gaiva. They're so much greater than us that we can't fathom. And yet, Limud HaTorah has to do with a sense of Gadlus HaAdam, a sense of Dveikus Bashem, a sense of a potential for greatness that a person has to have. So the two mahalchim in serving the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, each is true. There's such a thing as Nevuah, and there's such a thing as Pilpula Daraisa. They're both true. But the two mahalchim, the two approaches. Schwab in Parshas Vaschanan talks about Matan Torah. And he says that Klal Yisrael misunderstood Matan Torah. They came to Matan Torah expecting Nevuah. They came to Matan Torah expecting a sort of a bittul to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and an influx of knowledge through Nevuah. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam will give them Yedias HaTorah, suddenly they'll know Torah, and it's like you plug in a hard drive and suddenly he works, you know, it works. And so Rabbi Shalom will somehow, by Matan Torah, give them this gift, and they'll be Yidei Torah. They'll be Yidei Torah. Schwab says that's really the amkus of what Chazal say, that Klal Yisrael slept late the day of Matan Torah. Whatever it means, they slept late exactly the day of Matan Torah. We understand it on our level. But Schwab says the aside is, they thought Kabbalah Satayra is through sleeping. Kabbalah Satayra is through Mechalay Medaber Bay, through a bitla irrigation, through a lack of sense of self. And that's how Klal Yisrael is going to go through the Matan Torah with a bitla to the Rabbi Yishalel, with a lack of a sense of the Godless Adam. And that, it was a toss. Matan Torah is Dafka with the sense of Godless Adam, with the sense of a person being a shutif in Limud HaTorah, a shutif in the whole Ma'aseh Bereishis, in the Kiyum HaOlam. That's why we find by Matan Torah consistently the language that Klal Yisrael stood, Klal Yisrael was standing, Maimir Har Sinai. What's this big deal with Maimir Har Sinai? Yisyatz v'tach the Sahar. V'yagad l'vincha ben bincha yemishar magdata l'fnei Hashem al-kecha b'chayred. A constant reference, Vayamiram. Why is it constantly a reference to standing? A big deal. They stood, they sat, maybe some had chairs, some didn't have chairs. Where else does it talk about if they were standing or sitting? They brought the carbon Pesach and Mitzrayim. Standing, sitting. It doesn't say a l'shaynis anywhere of their physical position. By Matan Torah, it says Vayisyatsu, Vayamiram. Because Matan Torah is dafka with a sense of Godless Adam, a sense of a person's potential. And that sense of Godless Adam is what Matan Torah was about. Klal Yisrael did not get a sudden gift of knowledge at Matan Torah. They received the oil of Torah, the responsibility of Torah, and Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the Har and started to teach them. They sat and they learned. There's a Gemara in Erevin, on Daf Nun Daled, that goes through the Seder Alimud, that Klal Yisrael sat and learned until they learned. It wasn't given as a gift. It was done. They had to achieve it on their own. They had to reach a sense of Deveikus Bakadosh Baruch Hu. It didn't come from a sense of bittul to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And the aside, the difference of what Klal Yisrael expected at Matan Torah and what Klal Yisrael got at Matan Torah was that difference. The difference between a gift for Nevuah and a carrot, the idea that you can do it. You have to do it. You have to roll up your sleeves and do it and make it happen. And only then it could be something that Klal Yisrael could achieve. So that sense is the sense. And with this, a number of things are explained. For example, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down, it was Karn Orfanov. But Yosef Malkar Masveh, he had to put on a mask on his face, because Klal Yisrael couldn't stand by the shine of Moshe Rabbeinu's Kedusha. What's interesting is that it says Lechavish, Yedek Yisisa, that when Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael Torah, V'yosir Asa Masveh, he took off the mask. Here you have Klal Yisrael, they can't even look at Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever that means. They're too bright a shine. And then Moshe Rabbeinu gives shir, he takes off the Masveh, he learns with them. And then, when he finished teaching them, he puts the Masveh back. The idea is that Klal Yisrael came with a feeling of bittul, came with a feeling of shiftless. And Moshe Rabbeinu taught them that when you sit and learn, there has to be a feeling of godless. There has to be a feeling of godless. Moshe Rabbeinu took off the Masveh. If you can't look at me, go work on yourself. If you can't connect to Kedusha, so go work on it. Come back later. If you're going to come in to Moshe Rabbeinu Shir like with shiftless Adam, you know, slouching back in your chair and waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to say something entertaining, so you'll be blinded. So leave, come back, get yourself ready, and come back. You want to go in to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. You have to have a sense of godless, a sense of what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. You're gonna declare, you're gonna be done, you're gonna tumble over it. You can have an opinion. You have an opinion next to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, Limud HaTorah has to be with a sense of godless order. If you can't come in to Moshe Rabbeinu to learn Torah, if you can't walk in to learn with a sense that your learning means something, and that there's a potential for godless for you wherever you are, so then you're not going to be Matzliach. It's nice to be somebody who practices Bittul Adam, and now when you Bittul Hashem, but not at the time that a person is sitting down to learn. A person who sits down to learn with a sense of Bittul, we know the Bittul, we know we don't compare to the Tanam and Amiram. That's not how we learn. We learn with a sense of godless. If a person doesn't go in to learn with a sense of godless, it doesn't work. To davening, you can go with a sense of Bittul. To doing chesed, you can go with a sense of Bittul. But to learn Torah, if it doesn't come with a sense of godless, so you end up, the whole thing ends up being fashluf in the thing that's way over your head, and what are you going to accomplish? It's a big deal, you know, shenogas hasapar is this way or that way, big deal. If there's a sense that you can achieve godless with it, that's the only way it works. So Matan Torah was a matana, not the way Klal Yisrael thought of it, not the way people tend to think of it, as something that's just a gift to Klal Yisrael, not just a gift. It's a job to Klal Yisrael. We find the same thing by Kibbut Aveim. A person not allowed to contradict his parents by Kibbut Aveim. So you had to Kibbut Aveim point out that the Torah argues with his father, the Rosh. The Torah argues with the Rosh. He argues with Derek Kovin, but he argues. In the Gemara, you have Reb Shimon arguing with Reb Gamliel, it's his father. You have the sons arguing with father, Dishkan Kovin. When you go to learn, it has to be a sense of godless. It can't be. You can't sit down with your father and learn. If you're not, you can't sit anywhere and learn without godless art. Otherwise, it's a nice mitzvah, but it's not Kabbalah Satar. So this is the idea that Rav Schwab writes about. The truth is, the Netziv in a few places writes about this as well, that you can't approach Limud HaTorah from a sense of Bittul, from a sense of being a nobody. It's very nice to be an Anav. You can't be an Anav when you sit down to learn. When you sit down to learn, you feel that it matters a little bit, it doesn't matter a lot, then it doesn't work. It's just not something that happens. And the only way it happens is if you have a sense of Amida, of Vatikruvon Vatamdum Lufnei Hashem Lufnei Elokim, that you can stand in front of the Rabbi Yishon. That's the Yisayid of Matan Torah, and it has everything to do with being able to sit and learn, being able to go into a Beis Medrash Shavuos by night to learn. If you go in Shavuos by night, you want to learn late at night, you have to walk in with a plan of what you're learning. You have to walk in that it matters. It matters. The idea of Shavuos by night is not just staying up. The idea is staying up and learning. If a person has a sense of godliness, of accomplishment, of achievement, a person could do it. A person could stick to a goal and make it happen. Without a goal, it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't work. There has to be a certain sense of godliness that a person has. So this is the Yisayid, really, Rav Schwab's Yisayid in Matan Torah. And it's an aleph in being able to learn. It's the difference between someone who sits down to a Gemara with a brand, and someone who sits down with a Gemara like, you know, God sentenced us to sit and learn. So we do it. We're Elachiyin, you know. If the Baruch Shalom would say you walk through fire, you walk through fire. The Baruch Shalom says sit and learn, you sit and learn. It's not the way to learn. The way to learn is with a sense of accomplishment, of purpose, of a godliness. That when you walk in and make it happen. You don't walk in and dray around. That's a thought for Shavuos, for Matan Torah. I'd like to go from there to a thought on the parasha, which is not very far from what I'm talking about regarding Matan Torah. And it starts from a totally different angle. We have, I'm not sure if it's three or four places in the Torah, an unusual word. The word here at the end of Parshas Nasai is Ashte, Ayin Shin Tav Yud. V'yoyim Ashte Yasser Yoyim Nasi Levnei Asher Pagiel Ben Achran. Ashte Yasser. Normally 11 is Echad Asser Yoyim. Echad Asser Yoyim Mechayred. At Kadesh Barnea. Normally the word is Echad Asser is 11. You have a few places in the Torah Ashte Asser Yoyim for 11. Ayin Shin Tav Yud. Asar. So I guess Ashtay means one. But it never says Ashtay is one. It never says Esrim va'Ashtay, 21. Only 11. Ashtay Asar Yain, you find here, first at the beginning of Devarim. We have it back by the Uriyais, Parashas Vayakel, I believe. Ashtay Asar for 11. Very strange word. It's very strange that you should have two words for one, and one of them is Ashte is only with Ashte Yasa. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Chavtes Amid Beis darshins the expression Ashte. Gemara learns from here. The Gemara says Shte is two. Ashte is one. Very funny. You add a letter and it becomes less. The Gemara says, Mikan Shekol Hamleisif Gareya. Anybody who adds could make it less. Not every time you add, you make it less. But there's a concept of Meisif Gareya by Ashte Asar Yain. Ashte Asar Yain teaches you Kol Hamleisif Gareya. Sometimes you add, you make it less. Strange is regarding the number 11 in the Torah is that the number 11 is somehow a very negative number, and this is something that I noticed before I had any idea why. The Ramban says that there are never 11 Shvatim. You always have to be 12. If you have the Shvatim involved in something where Levi is out, so it becomes Menashe Ephraim, always. It never stays 11. If you count this, you count Levi out of the count, so you end up with 11 Shvatim. So Ramban says you never could have 11. Whenever Levi's out, Menashe Ephraim are counted as 2. There are times Levi's in, so Yosef is counted as 1, the way you would expect. But it's like a safety thing. As soon as Levi's out, Menashe Ephraim are 2. Should never be an 11. The number 11 is found, and the truth is, I once, when we were learning in Navi about the division of the Shvatim, dividing the land, I pointed this out, and I said to the Eilam, I don't have a drush on it, I don't have a speech on it, I just wonder, there can never be an 11. So I started looking at 11s. So of the 11 Klolos and Harevel is an 11. The leaders of Edom are 11, 11 Malachim that I counted as the Sarei Edom. It's interesting that the 11, the Arias Ezim that were on top of the Mishkan were 11 strips that were tied together. Uriah sees him. What's chashuv about that? So I saw they bring b'shem the Arizal. Ezim goats are always a simon to the satan, to the sitra achra. Ezim lashon azus. So the Arizal writes the Uriah season were 11 because it's meramis to the kayak of the sitra achra, whatever that means. But you get the feeling that it's something not so good. This 11. Someone sent me a copy of a Tshuva Nechsam Sefer in Arachayim. Some Sefer was asked why in a Megillah, when it counts the Aseres B'nei Haman, it says S and then his name. It says S and his name. S and his name. It should be 10 lines. S, this son. S, that son. And, right. It should be 10. It's not. So if you ever look in Megillah, S is on one line, and then the B'nei Haman. S, the B'nei Haman. Someone asked the Sif Sofer, why is it that way? It doesn't seem the normal way to write it, right? It should be on one line, as this one, as that one, as each one. Why is it split? So Sofer answers, because they want it to be 11 lines. It shouldn't be 10, it should be 11. Since you want it to be 11, Amalek has to be 11. Can't be 10. And he says that's why when we lay on Purim, we always lay at least 10 psukim. The only time we lay 9 psukim is when we lay the Parsha of Amalek. We lay 9 on Purim. Can't be 10. It should be 11, it should be 9. So again, this is all remuzin to something that seems extremely esoteric. Well, he says, Amalek. So, psukim, he says it shouldn't be 10. I'm just telling you some cipher. 10
is good, no?
10 is good, so you don't want it to be 10.
Oh, you don't
it
want
could to be 9, it could be 11. You could just miss, or you could be over. It could be Maisa Gareth. But it shouldn't be a 10. Okay, that's what he says. Where else could I find 11?
11 stars.
So 11 stars, Echad Asa Miyadeya. The 11 stars also, they caused all the tzaris. When you had 11 shvatim, right? Echad Asa Miyadeya, Echad Asa Kechvaya. Caused all the jealousy, it was an 11. And so someone sent me a whole shtickle, I don't know the whole thing, that the word Aleph Yud, A, is always found by Tzaras. See, the first one is Ayei Hevel Achicha, the first Musar Rabbi Shalom gives, he says it's spelled Aleph Yud there. As if to say that it's something negative about it. About the Aleph Yud, a bunch of Aleph Yuds. All these Ramazim, you know, if you know what they mean, they're significant. It just you get the drift. You know, the drift is that there's something about 11 to learn from. What's the Achad Asa Yayin? Ayay is with a hey, though. So it's good. Aleph Yud Hey. It's spelled with a hey. I'll leave the answer. The Achad Asa Yayin Mechayrev Ad Kodesh Barnea. 11 days they left Sinai till they got to Kadesh Barnea. Anybody know what happened to Kadesh Barnea? It was an island. So 11 days after they leave Sinai to come to the Maaseh Merah. So, right, it's.
What?
It doesn't say. I can't answer everything. I'm just telling you that the 11 comes up. You know, these things, I can't answer it. You're going to tell me someone that's going to hear a shiur, 11 is negative, will say, I'm the 11th child of my family. So what does that mean? I can't answer these things. But there's something, apparently, in the 11s that is negative. Some Sefer says it has to do with Amalek. And it's in the Ben Yayada, in Sanhedrin, Chavtes Amid Beis, says this about the Yeriyos being 11 Mishen Darizal, I believe. So there's something with the 11, so we need some kind of a Hesber. So this is, like I said, the Gematrias and the numbers, it's really not my field. However, one of my misfiles, and when I asked for information, you ask information, you ask enough people, you get it. Someone gave me a CD with a shiur from Ramesha Shapiro, who this is his field, the 11, the numbers. So I'd like to share with you what I think he's saying. You know, I'm a more practical level person, but I'll tell you what I think he's saying about the negativity of the 11 and the message, really. I just stopped to say drushes, I'm not interested. But the lesson that's in it. 10 people make a minyan. Bring the shchina, a certain level of shchina when you have 10 people. Asar nisyaynes, nisnas Avraham Avinu, made an Avraham Avinu, 10 nisyaynes, basar mamaris, nivra aylam. 10 is a creation of the world, is a bria with 10. The asara are a certain shleimus. Asara is a certain shleimus that is always asara. I remember once seeing in the Maral, he says that 10 is achdus. You would think 1 is achdus. He says 1 is not achdus. For one person to be echad is no trick. For one person, that's not achdus. Achdus is when you have a lot of people and they're together. So he says the yud is the most achdustic letter. It's a letter that has no parts to it, just one part. Every other letter has pieces to it, a foot and a head. Yud is basically one. Yud is a sense of shleimus. The first 10 people walk into shul, the makabel skark, and they get kulam. The 10 who, the asar rishayim, who come into shul, the makabel skark, and they get kulam. What about the 11th fellow who walks in? So the 11th fellow who walks in, he's an unlucky man, you know, he just missed. Now there's somebody who walks in 31st also, or big enough, he walks in the 100th. The one who walks in the 100th also missed. But the tefillah is on the person who walks in 11th. Like, you're so close, you can't do it. You're so close, you can't do it. So it's better to be the 100th? I don't know. The Gemara says that a Kaddish Baruch who comes to a shul, there are no 10, miyad kayis. Who's he kayis on? Kayis on the people in shul? People not in shul. So who's he kayis on? The people who are late to shul, that's what it says. What about the people who never come to shul? I guess he's kayis on them too. They're not so posh. The basic yisoid in Yiddishkeit is that everybody has his own nesiyonos, his own tafkidim, his own job, his own abilities, his own challenges. Each person has his own challenges. I saw it when I was learning Mishlei, the Gra in Mishlei. It says that in your mother's womb you learn Torah. The Gra says that each person in his mother's womb learns not Kol HaTorah Kula. He learns his Kol HaTorah Kula, whatever he would be expected to learn in Olam Hazeh. That's what he learns in the mother's womb. Each person is different. One person, you know, the Gra learned Kol HaTorah Kula. Some people learn, you know, Mishnayos. Some people learn apparently a very hazy, unclear learning. That probably answers, well, what do women learn? They learn. So they also learn. There are things women have to learn. The Goyim learn B'mei. The Goyim also have things they have to learn. They have to know Sheva Mitzvahs. There are things they have to know. The Gra says that this idea of B'mei, he fits it into the Lashon HaGemara there. I don't remember exactly how. Each person has the things he has to learn. And when a person does the things he has to do, it's that's his shleimus. His shleimus is when he finishes what he has to learn. And Rav Palm, uncharacteristically, in Atar Lamelech, there's one page, one side of a page, he has a piece that's the Gamri, not in character for him. It's one of these, like the more Kabbalistic ideas, he says. He brings that every person has to learn in Olam Hazeh a certain amount. And whatever it is, that's his job, if he doesn't finish it, he has to come back. He says, that's the pshat, Rabbi Mevi'e L'Olam Haba, even if you taught him one halacha, is Mevi'e L'Olam Haba. Why? Because if you're missing that one halacha, you're also missing in what you have to accomplish. Each person has a certain shleimus that he has to accomplish. People feel very comfortable looking at everyone else around them and seeing that everybody else is doing worse than them, so they feel, you know, a certain comfort in the crowd. Being somewhere in the middle of the crowd is comfortable. But it's a silly thing, because each person has the things that he has to accomplish and the things that he has to do. When it comes to pleasure in this world, people don't look at the crowd. People want what they want. Because to make money, the person doesn't say, well, you know, some people owe a lot of money, some people have a lot of money, and I'll be somewhere in the middle, it'll be just right. People don't look at it that way. When it comes to Ruchnius, each person has his job. The 11th person is a big tefillah. The 100th person in shul, probably God doesn't expect him to be Asara Rishayim. Probably that's not what God is expecting from him. He's 100th person in shul, you know, maybe God wants him to make it in time for Baruch Shana, or in time for Kaddish. You know, there's certain tefillahs. The 11th person, though, his taina is, you know, your shleimus minus one. You have skar kenega kula minus one. Where are you? How can you be the 11th person in shul? I feel bad sometimes. I'm the 11th person in shul. So I have a problem that there are people who learn before davening by us in the morning. So I once saw that the Asara Rishayin is the people who come to learn don't count. I saw such a thing, I think, in Der Asicha from Reb Chaim. No, it means the people who come to davening, in which case I'm safe. But, I haven't mentioned to you, I once mentioned on Yom Shabbos Shuvah, everyone should try to be Asara Rishayin. Nobody having seen it. Everyone should be Asara Rishayin. There's a person in our shul who showed me afterwards, Api Zayar, you're supposed to be the first. And this person is tak always the first, almost always the first. So the next day, I made sure to come before him. I was first. I told him, don't worry, I'm not keeping this up, you know, the time he comes. But you understand my point? The 11 is an idea of a person who's at the edge of Shleimus, at the edge of winning the lottery, and he misses it by what? So you have a lottery ticket. And they announce the numbers, and you're way off. So how depressed are you? You know, you don't really expect to win. Imagine you have a lottery ticket, and you missed it by one. You missed it by one! No, how do you feel? Missed it by one, you feel pretty awful. No? You're one number off, you could have won. The 11 is Maram is to that idea. The idea that a person who's standing by Shleimus minus one, by his Tafkin minus one, you know, somebody comes to come back as a Gilgul. He comes upstairs and they tell him, you know, you only did half what you're supposed to do, you have to come back. All right. Not good, but imagine a person comes upstairs and says, you did everything you had to do, you're missing 5 minutes. You say, Banishan, for 5 minutes I have to come back? Banishan says, you learned the Gemara. Gemara, which Gemara? Gemara says that Lost and Lovely, the Rishon come upstairs, and the Rishon shows that the Yetzirah is like a string. And they say, if I know the Yetzirah is a string, I would have done it. I thought the Yetzirah is a mountain. What does that mean? If the person thinks God expects for me this big mountain, so it's hopeless. So what's the difference what time I get here in the morning? Someone else thinks, it's only a string. God expected you to come 5 minutes earlier. The 11th person, the 11 is Meramis to this poor fellow who just missed it. He's a Maisif Gareya. If he'd be a Guru Adika person, so God wouldn't expect it from him. He's somebody who has Milus. He has Milus. He's expected to be Asara Rishayim. He has Milus. He's expected to accomplish. That's the remez of the 11. The remez of the 11 is, you know, don't just miss it. Don't be at the edge of something fantastic and just miss it. To work on this idea, a person has to have a sense of godless atzmai. Without a sense, a person who has a sense of shiflus is not going to make it. The shiflus that's prevalent, there's no shortage of balei gaiva, but when it comes to ruchnius, there's a sense of shiflus, of anivus that people have, that, you know, it's not me. You know, some people who are able to accomplish more, but it's not me, I'm not there. Certainly a sense of shiflus, a certain sense of bittul. Very nice nida. It's very nice if you had that nida when it came to gashmiyistika things. You know, some people need fancy things, not me. Some people need to eat a big meal, not me. You know, they'll be nice. But when it comes to serving the Rabbi Nishalayim, not me. What does it mean, not me? What does it mean, not me? How could it be that in Flatbush there are many people that tell me, oh, the Mishmar is such a nice idea? It could be they're lying, but I think many of them are sincere. It's beautiful. So if it's so beautiful, where are you? Like, why aren't you there? What about the people that came for a while? Huh? They're like, why shouldn't you be there? It's not a nice thing. You don't think it's a nice thing? It's a nice thing. Like, why should... Well, it's a sense of shiftless. A sense, you know, it's a nice thing for some people. It's a nice thing. Afrikala, it's a very nice thing. Working people have off a week at the end of December. Half a Flatbush, 2/3 of our heads off. So it's beautiful. You see signs, they have Yarfi Kala, 1 week yeshiva, they have Rabbi Kanshul, 1 week yeshiva. It sounds great, it sounds like it's packed. And, You know how many people go? You know, they have a couple of minyanim of people. The whole, from this whole thing and all the advertising, and the Belsky gives a share, and the Khan gives a share, other gives a share. How many people are stark enough to go? 30 people they get. 35 people. I don't mean to belittle, maybe they get 50 people. How many people do they get? It used to be in my neighborhood. Maybe now it is. There are Bible companies. I used to go in, you know, they get 25 people, 35 people. Everyone says it's a beautiful idea, you know, you yeshiva, you go to work. Yachikau. The answer is, you know, some people don't learn at all. Some people learn a lot. It's like, you know, you ever heard Goldilocks? You know, not too hot, not too cold. You know, just right, smack in the middle. Not too firm, not too loose, you know, just right. It's like a Goldilocks syndrome. Everybody wants to be in the middle. The middle is comfortable. Gadlus Ha'odom is a sense of, I can do it. I can push the edge. Whatever you're at the edge of, you can push it. You can push it a thread further. You can push it a little more in the right direction. That's the sense of Gadlus Ha'odom. That's the sense of standing up, of Maimed Har Sinai, of standing up and being a somebody. Having a sense that you're a somebody. Kadosh Baruch Hu made Klal Yisrael a tiny percentage of the world. Such a small percentage of the world. And in Klal Yisrael, how many Maminim are there? A small percentage. It should evoke in a person a sense of godless. A sense of God. You know, Mashiach is going to come, and suddenly there are going to be 10, 12 million Jews who never learned that are going to need rebellion. And they're going to be yeshiva-like. They're going to be yeshiva-like the whole world. They're going to be yeshiva-like the whole world. If there are half a million yeshiva-like in the world, so everyone will have a class of about 30 people. If there are a quarter of a million, everyone will have a class of 60. So that means everyone here is going to have to start teaching. You have to be a rabbi. The Mashiach will come. All the yidden are going to have to learn. I don't know if you're the goyim. If you're the goyim, they'll fry the burgers for us. But the yidden are all going to sit and learn. Everyone's going to have a class. You ready to have a class? Ready to teach? You ready? You want the Aleph Beis class? Is that what you want? You want the Aleph Beis? No? Let's start teaching. So get ready for it. No, that's not the sense of Gadlus Ha'odom. The whole world will be one in so many. If it's Yechidim, Yechidim should be Yechidim. And among all the Yechidim, how many come on Friday? I mean, come on Friday. 50%. So you're yechidim. There has to be a sense of accomplishment, a sense of godless honor. Kabbalah Satoira is to be mekabel in oil. Not a simple thing. Be mekabel in oil and to understand that you can do it. You can do more. You can accomplish. Wherever you are, you can do more. Wherever I am, I can do more. All of us can do more. The being boxed in to a very narrow life is a very sorry, sad story. It's the 11th man, the guy who's an 11th man every day in shul, he doesn't even notice it. The 11th man in shul. Like, if you want to sleep late, at least do it right. Get some more sleep, you know. You have to be the 11th man, punkt. Like, it's such a waste. No? A waste to be the 11th man. The 11th man doesn't realize. He's a meisif, he's better than everybody else, but it's a geroin in the person. You're not a learner, you're able to learn. So what's going on? Where are you? God gave it to you. Where is it? Certainly suffer, that's a machayiv. The remez of the 11 are the people that are right outside. Who's Esav? Who's Esav? You're right at the edge. Esav was more at the edge than Yishmael. Right? He asked how you give Maisa from salt. He knew, he learned how to give Maisa. Rabbi Miller used to say, if Esav would walk into shul today, they have him say the Daf Yomi Shir and sit him by the Mizrach wall. He knew how to learn better than all of us. He knew. He was at the edge. Yitzchak dreamt that it would be a Shutvus Yaakov and Esav. So how many Alufei Esav are there? There are 11 Alufei Esav. Right outside, just missed. He's the 11th man. He's the one that, that just can't do it. Just can't make it. 10 days from Sinai, they were stark. 11th day, that's when they came to a place where the Yerida started. That's when the Yerida starts. The Yerida starts from being right outside, not making it. It's a job for a lifetime. It's a job for Kabbalah Satayra. Kabbalah means being makabel, taking something on yourself. Taking on yourself a she'ifa for godless, a she'ifa to be better, a she'ifa just, I understand that guys come to yeshiva, you come to the Beis Medrash, there's a time that the guys need a break, you can't learn straight. But that the first thing people do when they walk in should be, you know, taking out their phone and batola. It's a lax in the godless adam, it lacks in who you are. You can do more, it lacks in who you, how you think of yourself. You're in yeshiva already. No, if your prayer doesn't come to yeshiva, so you're a maisif. You're in yeshiva. So how? Herod is anivus. Anivus. That was Klal Yisrael's mistake the morning of Matan Torah. Anivus. To be bittul to the Rabbi Yisrael. That's not what God wants. God wants tumbling and learning. God wants an interest in learning, an interest in accomplishing, an interest in finishing. That's what it's got to be. You have to push yourselves. You have to push yourself. You're a maisif, there's a tvi on you. A tvi on you. If a mashkiach is tevei you, if a rebbe is tevei on you, it means he sees potential. He doesn't see potential, it's not tevei. A tvi means there's something to be had. Godless adam, that's Matan Torah. The rem is a Matan Torah. And I hope it's something that you can incorporate. Lamaisa, lamaisa. We're going to come, you know, Rav Huttner's line. Where he saw, he was watching the Bachram learning Shuas by night, and he commented, it's so beautiful, they learn with Asma, the whole Shuas by night, they dive into Sikin, they go to sleep, and they wake up, Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul, all ready for a newsman. There's something with that, you know, something to that. The Kabbalah Satayra needs to come out. We have 3 weeks of yeshiva afterwards, some people, it's going to be vacation time. Some people, it's going to be time to buckle down and accomplish. And here everyone's going to accomplish because the next mission is Chalipin. So with all the Kenyanim, Chalipin is Moshe Shmack. So you'll be stuck, you'll be into it. But you have to accomplish, you have to have a sense of purpose. You're planning for a summer with a sense of purpose. You're planning for Shavuos by night. Plan for something Shavuos by night. You're going to walk into the Beis Medrash without any sense of accomplishment. You can end up drinking coffee and schmoozing. You're going to fall asleep over your learning. Go into it with a sense of accomplishment. Something you want to do, something you want to finish, something. The only way to do it. If there's no sense of godless adam, then you sleep late on Matan Torah. If there's a sense of godless, then you could be up to it. You can do it. We all could do it. We could accomplish more. We could do more. Let's hope we should have a proper Kabbalah Center.